Blog Talk Radio.
6 Degrees is another fine show brought to you by Law of Attraction Radio Network. It has been discovered that we are all connected by just 6 degrees of separation. Somehow, some way, we just need to open up the dialogue to see where our connections lie. Welcome to the 6 Degrees Show with your host, Anthony Bryce.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. This is Anthony Bryce, the host of 6 Degrees. 6 Degrees is about connecting, and we are all connected. Somehow, some way, it is through the dialogue that the essential connections are revealed. And today, for the first time on 6 Degrees, we have Garrett Miller. Garrett Miller, author of the highly acclaimed book, Hire on a Whim, is also president and CDO of Cotria, a productivity training company. Garrett is trained nationally and internationally with some of the greatest organizations in the world, including dozens in the Fortune 500. He graduated from the University of Rhode Island and worked for a major pharmaceutical company for 18 years, the last 10 as a manager. After an award-winning career, Garrett began his latest venture as a business owner, author, keynote speaker, coach, and trainer. Garrett has been married 17 years to his amazing wife, Paula, and is the proud father of 3 worlds. This is Garrett Miller. Garrett Miller, this is The World on 6 Degrees. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Glad we could connect.
Oh, I'm very happy and honored to have you as the last guest for 2010. Woo!
Oh, what an honor. Woo!
So the listeners can dive in a little deeper into your world while they're listening to the podcast. Garrett, could you go ahead and direct them to your website?
Yeah, sure. The website is Hire on a Whim, and that's WHIM, hireonawhim.com. It's an easy one. You'll find a little bit about the book, about me. I also own a productivity training company, and we run that, and you can link to that website from there as well.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Garrett, I'm going to have to ask you the question. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Oh, thank you. Right. So, yeah, after graduating college in economics, I started with Pfizer, worked with them for 18 years as a sales rep and then as a manager, moved from Connecticut to New Jersey and established ourselves here, especially in the management realm. And I have a 15-year-old, a 13-year-old, and those are the 2 boys, and then my dynamite daughter, who's 10 years old. And we are out in New Jersey, where most people think of New Jersey as 95, but it is beautiful out here. We've got mountains, and we've got farms, and we've got lots of beautiful rolling hills. So that's where I am. And I began my productivity training company about 3 years ago. It's called Cotria, C-O-T-R-I-A. And we help organizations become more productive. And at about the same time I started the company, because we weren't exactly as busy as bees, I had some time on my hands, and I began to write. And I began to write about one of the things I loved doing as a manager, which was interviewing and then hiring and then watching people grow. But it all begins with the hiring process, so that's where we started.
That's a really important focal point as well. You know, this is the end of 2010, and we're going into 2011, and a lot of listeners are maybe thinking about switching careers. What would you suggest to them?
Yeah, well, that's excellent. And not only switching careers, maybe even trying to start a career. Maybe they're in that transitional phase, exactly. And listen, I think from what we see in the periodicals, what we see in the journals, is that we're coming out of that recession. Companies are beginning to hire again, which is all great stuff. And it may be a great opportunity to make that switch. And there needs to be some some introspection. We want to take inventory of our skill sets and the qualities and see if they match up for what companies are looking for. So I think it's a great time. And you know what, Anthony? Companies are always looking for great employees.
That's really what it boils down to, the person, and especially companies, yep, and being employed with a company that really does focus on you as a person. You know, it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're not yet at that stage, but there is some interviewing that goes on from the employee towards the employer, isn't there? You're trying to evaluate, is this the company, is this a manager I want to align myself with?
It's really important. You know, it's all about relationship. You know, that's with anything in life, though, Garrett, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and I could not agree with that more, because, you know, people think, oh, you know what, I'll take this job because it's there. Whoa. I call it the equivalent of getting married, because we're about to spend 3 or 4 years together. You know, is this somebody I want to spend time with? Is this somebody I respect and that I could entrust myself to? And I'm a huge relationship person, so I think it's really natural that we're speaking about this subject here on your program.
It's important. It's very important. And in your book, Hire on a Whim, you mentioned 4 qualities that make for great employees. What about the qualities that make for great employers?
Oh, listen, I love that. And it's funny, I never thought about that. But somebody posed that question, or they danced around it last week, and I thought, and I said, does whim apply to the company I'm about to join? And you know what? I think it does. And I'd love to explore it a little bit more with you tonight if you wanted to, but I really think it's important that the company I'm about to work for has these qualities as well.
Maybe
it begs the question, what are the qualities?
Yeah, I was going to say, well, it would be, if you would like, let's explore one or two of them. That would be a great.
Yeah, let's do that. And you know, I'd love feedback as we go through them, but let's take the first two. And the reason we come to the book WHIM, WHIM, is because it's an acronym, and it stands, each the first letter stands for the 4 qualities. So it's easy and simple to remember on either side of that table, whether you're interviewing or whether you're hiring. If you're the one interviewing, you want to make sure you accentuate these qualities in every possible opportunity. But if we take the first two, the first one is work ethic. And we define work ethic as, you know, just that innate ability to see a task and to accomplish it and to dig in. And you know what? Not to always ask, is that my job? Or, listen, that's not on my job description. You know what? You do it anyway.
You know,
I was talking.
Go ahead. You know, it really does make sense, you know, because I personally would rather work with someone who will get their knees dirty and their elbows dirty and just be right there in the trenches with the workers before someone who's more aloof and a task oriented through pointing the finger.
Yep. Yeah, I was sitting next to a father at my son's basketball practice. He runs an auto dealership. We started talking about the concepts, and he said, well, would it make sense even with the folks I hire? So I began to talk about each of the qualities, and his eyes lit up when we started talking about work ethic. And he said, you know what, Garrett? You know what bothers me is when I see an employee step over a oil spill. He goes, I don't care who you are, whether you got a suit on or whether you're making coffee or you're answering phones, you lean down, you grab a rag, and you clean up the oil spill. That's the person I want on my team.
That's it. That's the bottom line. You know, without a strong work ethic, you might as well hire nobody.
Yeah, exactly. So I think this wraps around to this story of hope that this discussion brings to people, especially in this new year, is that it doesn't take experience to clean up an oil spill. It doesn't take experience to see a job and fulfill it, or a task that somebody else left undone. What it takes is a desire to help out in the bigger picture. And I call it having a servant's mentality. You know, even if it's not my job, I'm going to do it. You know why? Because I'm part of the big picture here. And what's unique about these four qualities, work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity, is that you can't teach them, Anthony. The person you hire has to have them. And the great news for your audience who's thinking about interviewing for a job is, if you have that, then let it shine, because that's what people are looking for.
You know, you can't fake real, Garrett. You know, that's the bottom line. Either you're real or you're not. And you know, when you try to hide your authenticity, or try to be someone you aren't in an interviewing process, you're not only are you not doing yourself justice, but you're not doing the world the world around you justice, because that's what you're meant to do, is shine.
Absolutely, and I love that. And listen, and when you walk through the questions at the end of each chapter, as we're trying to bring out these qualities, you know, there's a saying that what you believe in your heart comes out of your mouth. So eventually, your qualities are going to shine. You can't hide them for too long. And it's going to bubble up, and that's the goal of the interview on both sides of the fence. I want to see what type of manager you are by the questions you ask and how you respond to my answers. And I want to see what type of person you are as the interviewee, and see if you're somebody that I want on my team. You know, the term, the few, the proud, the Marines, a lot of people think that that's just unique to the Marine Corps. No way. If I have a company, and I do, I only want the best in my ranks.
What brought you to write this book? Really, what inspired you?
It's a great question. What happened was I used to hire basically college kids, right out of college, and I worked with other managers that said they would never hire untested college kids. And I scratched my head and I said, well, that's interesting, because I've had a lot of success with college students, and yet these people have had nothing but, you know, nightmare and stories to tell, and so much so that they won't even look at them anymore. So when I began my new company, and I began thinking about hiring, and I began to think about the experience I had, I said, why were my experiences so different? As I looked upon the successful people that worked for my company, for my team, I began to notice that there were four qualities that wove all of these people together, and they were those four qualities. So my goal was, I wanted other managers to have the same type of success I had. Because if you speak to hiring managers, they will say, oh, yeah, I've hired some great people, and I've hired some good people, and I've also hired some people that I'd like to forget. And my question is, that's great that you've had those good experiences, but do you know why? Or was it just by dumb luck? So I put it all in the book, and I tried to make the book fun to read. I tried to make the qualities easy to remember, so that other people could have a great hiring experience that I did. That was my motivation.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I'm sure there's many thousands of people who have benefited from your guidance. Do you have any example in particular?
Oh, wow. Yeah, we've had some great experiences. We worked with a tier one pharmaceutical company that, after reading the book, I was actually teaching them some of our productivity training courses. But they heard that I was an author, and they asked me about my subject matter, and I started sharing some of my philosophies. And the gentleman stopped and said, listen, when I shared the four qualities that you need to hire, he asked the group that was sitting there, which were all senior level people, he said, has anybody here ever had an HR, an experience that did not involve one of these qualities. And the room went quiet, and they said, Garrett, this is exactly what we've been looking for. So it's funny because in months, they jettisoned their current hiring practices. They adopted the hire on a whim qualities, and they just expanded. They went through a huge expansion, and I got an email from the senior vice president of sales saying, Garrett, whim is working. So that's been a lot of fun. And it's wound up in hands, Anthony, that, you know, of course, when you launch a book and it's available on Amazon and Borders.com and on the website, you never know who winds up getting it and who they share it with. And I got it. I just got an email from a woman who is the head resident at a teaching hospital. And they are interviewing current residents right now, trying to expand their ranks for 2011. And she said, Garrett, we've had zero interviewing skills and courses. And I said, and she said, after reading your book, I now feel qualified to have an intelligent discussion with people. So it's been a lot of fun to see where it's wound up and the discussions and the emails that hit my inbox. And it's so much fun to see that I'm having an impact in these traits are having an impact and they're shaping the culture. Because back to your point, Anthony, the people I hire and I bring into my company are the culture and the relationships that will affect the next, who knows, 10, 12, 20 years of my success. And that's the one thing that I really drive home, Anthony, is that when we're sitting in that workshop, I say, look around you. The future of your organization depends on who you bring into the company. Get it right.
It's critically important, the relationship process and matching up the right person with the right job, with the right company, and you doing so and through your book is really shaping, as you said, the culture of our workforce in the future. It's tremendously important work, Garrett. There's a lot of confusion, I would say, and inexperience when it comes down to the resume. And I know that you have a lot of information, valuable information for listeners out there to help ensure that they even have the opportunity to sit down in front of a prospective employer.
Excellent. So a couple tips on the resume. All right. Yeah. Well, listen, it's the electronic handshake, because most resumes are being sent electronically these days. But it's something that's going to stick with you. I am a huge fan of resumes and spending time on it. And, you know, but I don't I'll talk from both sides of the table, if you don't mind. One of the things when you're writing your resume, make sure you put your GPA on there and don't be nervous about your GPA. I encourage managers not to have a GPA cutoff. Some managers won't interview people if you know their GPA is below a 3.0. But I think that's not. I don't think that's smart, because I've hired great people that have had GPAs lower than 3.0, because it's really what you're doing in college that matters to me most. Maybe not just college, but what you're doing outside of the realm of work that really develops you as a person. So make sure you put it down on your resume. Think of the four qualities that we'll talk about two or three of them tonight. But work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity. You want to highlight those aspects on your resume. Make them shine. And you know what? Also put your interests on your resume. Some people leave those off, and I think interests are what make people real to me. When I look at Anthony's resume and I say, oh, he likes blogging and he loves music and he loves the Boston Red Sox, I think, oh, wow, this person's a sports fan, they're a music fan, and you know what? We might spend more time talking about your interests because that's where we connect. So don't leave off your interests. I would avoid having all of your interests the same. So if your interests were, I love sports, I work out, you know, 2 hours a day. I love ESPN, and you know, I play on three basketball teams in my town team or my city team. All right, that makes you look too much like of a jack of one trade, and that might even harm you a little bit. But can you do me a favor when you're developing your resume? Make sure you're well-rounded, because it's those experiences, those well-rounded experiences, that are really going to make me see that you have a lot to bring to my organization. You know, and depending on what you do, I see people put on a resume things that are kind of common, like I'm agile, or I'm proficient on Google and Chrome and Microsoft Word. And I think, you know, those things don't excite me. I would assume that you have some of those skills. So make sure that your resume mimics or is relevant to the jobs you're applying for. If the job assumes that you have some computer savvy, then you may not need to add some of those programs, but you might put just a one-liner out of computer proficient in modern day programs such as Outlook and those type of things.
That's tremendous information, Garrett. There's just no way to know what is perfect, what's the perfect combination, and what an employer is looking for. So your oversights and your broad stroke suggestions, I'm sure will help one of the listeners out there. You know, you talk about warning signs. You know, every employer has warning signs that they're looking for. What are these warning signs?
Great, and it's, you know, that's a great question for both sides of the table. You want to. And let me step back for a second. We all have prejudices, and we have instincts. Okay, we can rely on some of those instincts. But what I'm going to ask you is, I'm going to ask you to make sure that you challenge those instincts, especially if you're somebody who's hiring. Okay, and you may only hire athletes because you happen to be an athlete. And by the way, I have managers that are like that. The problem with that instinct, and that I will say that prejudice, is that the reason you're an athlete and the reason you chose sports and excelled at them may not be the same reason other people choose sports and athletics. So the problem with that instinct is that you may be passing over people who aren't athletes, who might possess the qualities that you're looking for, and you might be hiring people who are athletes who don't possess the qualities that you assume that they have. So I'm asking you to challenge that. You may say, you know, I only hire Ivy Leaguers. I'm going to ask you why. Well, I've had good experiences with them. With all of them? And do only Ivy Leaguers possess those qualities? I'm going to ask you to challenge those. And by the way, at the end of the day, you may stick to those, but I want you to challenge those. So gaps that we look for are spaces or too much job turnover. One of the things you want to avoid is starting a job, stopping it, and then starting another job quickly. What that says to me as the interviewer is, this person jumps around a lot, and why do I think they may not continue that pattern in my company? Because one of the things I fear most is that I'm going to interview you. You put on a great face. I hire you. I spend the next 3 months teaching you all of the things that I need my employees to do. I invest a lot of time and resources in you. All right. In fact, those resources are being sapped from other areas of my business. And then you work for 4 or 5 weeks and you think, you know what, I don't like this job that much, and you leave. That's what scares me the most, is that I've invested all those resources, and boom, You took them elsewhere. And you know what? You might even land in my competition with the skill sets that I just shared with you. So we want to make sure this marriage is going to work. And that's why I say spend time on the interview. See the person once or twice. And you know what? It's going to be good for you as the interviewee because you get a look at what's important to me and you see if this marriage is going to work. So I want you to look for gaps and then, listen, gaps don't mean no. Gaps mean red flags, and I want you to explore those. There's perfectly good reasons why gaps occurred. You know what? I had a family member that fell ill. I had to leave the job. I had to take care of my mom, my dad, my brother. That means a lot to me. That shows dedication. That shows commitment. I love that. So let's make sure that we're there.
I would agree with you 100%. It's extremely important to make sure that we're there connecting. Say yeah. I make it through the first interview, and you know what? Oh, there's a second interview process. How can I best prepare for that? You know, I've already seen the ones, they like me, and I'm sure that there's, you know, mm-hmm. there's a filtration process because the market's tough right now, Garrett, and it's like 200 applicants for every 5 jobs, you know. So, you know, you're going to find yourself in a second interview process. How can I wait? How can I wait the scale in my direction?
Yeah, you want to tilt in your direction. Well, let me give you some ideas on why I'm going to give you a second interview. It's not that I saw something in the first interview and I got nervous and I want to dive deeper. It's I saw something in the first interview and I liked it. All right? So I would be nervous about somebody who interviews somebody for 45 minutes and says, okay, you're hired. That's not my philosophy because if I bring you into my organization, I train you, and we have those mistakes – it only brings difficulty on both of us, all right? It makes my job as the employer difficult because I got to figure out how to get rid of you, right? And it makes your job as the employee difficult because you're thinking, well, what did I do wrong? How come this isn't working out? What don't you like about me? And it really can be. So I want that second interview. And by the way, some people will go on a third interview. Those are great signs. So don't be nervous. Be excited. It means I want to go on a second date. You know, I like you enough. And listen, I'm going to pay for dinner again. So it's a good thing.
Oh, that is a great way to look at it, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, don't be nervous. And what we're going to do is we're going to dive a little bit deeper into some of your experiences and some of your qualities because they intrigued me. All right? So be ready to get a little bit deeper. And I'm not questioning your honesty. What I do as the interviewer is I may even ask the exact same questions. I want to see consistency. I want to see if the story is the same and if the events around it were the same. And I may dive in a little bit deeper because maybe there was a quality that I was unsure of in the first interview that I want to firm up, right? My personal opinion, and other people believe the same thing, I want that second interview to be in a different place. If you and I met in an office setting, right, with you and me and a big desk in between and the door is quiet and I got the do not disturb sign, okay, that's a great place for a first meeting, but it's kind of artificial, isn't it? How about you meet me at a Dunkin' Donuts for the next meeting? Think of all the different variables that are all of a sudden introduced. I get to watch you interact with people. I get to watch you sit down at a dirty table, grab a napkin, and clean it off yourself. I get to see you hold the door open for somebody who had an armful of coffee and donuts. I get to see you interact with the person behind the counter. Do you respect them? Do you treat them as valuable people? Do you wait your turn, right? Do you ask me what I want, or do you let me go first? Look at all those variables just by ordering coffee. And then we sit down, and it's a little bit more noisy. You might have to repeat yourself or clarify a question because you didn't hear it correctly. So you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing the real Anthony, because you're certainly a different person when it's not a pristine environment. And let me ask you, Anthony, in the environments you worked in, were they always predictable?
Absolutely not.
And aren't you amazed at the colors that you see shine when you introduce the variables?
That's so true, because a lot of those variables cannot be seen without putting mm-hmm. that person in a different light, or seeing that person in a different light. It's just so true. You know, Garrett, have you seen the difference in a company that has a training, a hiring program, versus a company that does not have a hiring program, training program?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And by the way, every company has a hiring program. The question is it good? Is it quality? And is it producing great results? And so much of our expenses, and really the HR expenses, come down to hiring poor candidates. Let me qualify that word, because it's really not fair. Candidates that don't fit correctly, because everybody has great qualities, everybody has value that they bring to life, but they may not be the qualities that I needed for that job. So what I like to say is, you were for the wrong puzzle. So never take it personally, right? Now, when you have a great training program and a great hiring program, you begin to focus in on the qualities that you want to bring into your organization. And that's where the culture begins, because every culture is based on not our five company values, okay? Just because I post the five values on every wall doesn't mean my people embody them. The qualities that we talk about in the book, work ethic, humility, and we define humility as the ability and the willingness to be taught and learn, integrity is I, and M is maturity. The companies that focus in on those qualities begin to bring in people that shape a culture that people not only want to work in, but stay in. And retention, believe it or not, even in this economy, do you realize companies are still having problems with retention? And if they're currently not having problems with retention, when the surveys are done, 60 to 70% of the people say that when the economy turns around, they're thinking of leaving their current employer. Talk of retention issues. So, you know, you may think that you have a low turnover rate and you're real happy and you think you got the greatest culture in the world. Many people are only there long enough to find a better job. And that should scare every company. So let's make sure we're bringing in the qualities and the values that we want to define who we are as a company.
And that is really what it all boils down to, having the people in the company that match best the qualities of the company that the company wishes to project to the world and to the marketplace, because it is a two-way street. You cannot have one without the other. Garrett, how do you measure these qualities? You know, you talk about humility, you talk about integrity, and I guess you can measure maturity. But really, how can one measure humility, or how can one measure integrity in order to know if this is actually that's the quality they're measuring?
Excellent. I'll give you a scenario for each of those. It's a great question, because you think it's almost like this ethereal quality. How do I, you know, it's like nailing Jell-O to the wall. How do I get a grip on it? But many times, and I know you're going to agree with this as well, many times it's not the question or the words that I hear. It's the way you've answered it, and it's watching the reaction as you answer it. So let's take humility, the ability and the willingness to learn. and to be taught. And I love asking the question, have you ever tried to teach somebody who knows everything? You know, it's like pulling teeth. You're trying to get across to somebody something, and they go, yeah, I know. And you're thinking to yourself, no, you don't know. And that's why I'm trying to, you know, that's why I'm trying to share this with you. And for that person who thinks they know everything, they have stopped learning, they have stopped growing, and you know what? I don't have any place for them in my organization. So I'm going to ask a question. Like, let's take somebody who's coming out of school, either college or high school. And I'm going to ask them, give me a time, or share with me a time when you received a poor grade or a poor review at work. And what did that look like? What did that sound like? So I'm going to listen for bitterness. I'm going to listen for somebody who says, you know, Garrett, I had the jerkiest boss, and man, I could not stand him. He never liked me. He didn't treat me well. He didn't treat anybody well, matter of fact. Or Garrett, the teacher, I got a D in statistics because the teacher was terrible, or the teacher was never there. We only had the TA, you know, the teaching assistant, and the exams. You hear what I'm doing? If it's everybody else's fault but my own, in fact, if it's everybody else's fault except for the person who is actually doing the job and taking the course, you can see that that person lacks humility, right? So I'm going to listen for that. And you ask the question, and I'm listening for that bitterness to creep in to the discussion. What I want to hear is, you know, Garrett, I got a D in statistics, and the teacher didn't give me the D. I earned it. Oh, yeah, you know what? I just didn't like that course, and you know what? It reflected in my homework assignments and the way I attacked that course. But listen to this. Here's the difference. What I learned from that experience, Garrett, really stuck with me when I had to take calculus. And you know what? I approached it in an entirely different manner. So my point is, don't worry about your failures. Talk about them. Talk about the bad reviews you had, and then tell the person, share with the person what you learned from it. See, I want somebody who is always in that learning mode. Does that make sense?
It makes completely perfect sense because, you know, when you have employees that are receptive and wanting to learn and easily, well, malleable to the, but you don't want them so malleable that, you know, they do whatever you want to do, because you can end up with groupthink as well. So,
yeah, excellent advice.
Yes. How do you, and that was actually what I was going to ask you, is how through your process, you know, you're hiring the people that you really, really want. How do you avoid hiring too many of the same types of people that are, think the same, where you end up, you know, just being a lemming and jumping off the side of the cliff because that's what, you know, it's the company motto right at this point in time.
Excellent. And you know what? I am a big fan of diversity. And one of the things that managers fall into is they hire lots of themselves. You know, they love their own qualities and they continue to hire them. And if you like sports at all, I use the analogy in the book of imagine if you had a baseball team full of Derek Jeters, but they were only shortstops. So here I have 12 shortstops take the field. What value is a shortstop standing on the pitcher's mound? You see, I want people to approach hiring by looking what gaps do they have in their current organization or their team, right? So you want to hire diversity. I want people who are great shortstops. I want great people who are great first basemen, and I want great pitchers. I need a great catcher to work with my great pitcher, right? And you know what? I need great bat boys too, or bat gals. you know, if I'm going to be diverse, right? It takes so many people to have a great working team. But if I hire all Garrett Millers, guess what? I'm going to have a dysfunctional team. I want great representation of men and women on my team. I want great representation of different backgrounds and ethnicities and experiences. I want, you know, you opened up with your background, you know, as a joke, but I want people who grew up in the Midwest and who grew up in inner cities. You know what that does to my team? It makes me valuable, and it brings those riches and those experiences. So that's how you do it. And you want people who, in the interview process, who stand for something. You know what? If you brought up a great trait that you see is people who are yes people. Oh, Anthony, I do not want a bunch of yes people because that doesn't help me. I want people who challenge me and challenge my experiences. I love friction. Because you know what friction is telling me? I got some strong thinkers on the team, and they stand for something. And Anthony, when I get the feeling that somebody is a yes person, I stop the interview and I go, tell me what you're passionate about. What energizes you? Give me a topic that people throw out on the table and you go, uh-oh, you didn't just say that. Right? Because I want to see that these people have energy and passion and they stand for something. Because if they stand for nothing, finish the sentence. Right? They'll fall for anything. So is that helpful?
Very much so. Very much so. It was so helpful, I almost forgot what I asked.
you asked me about how do I not find people who's so malleable, who take the corporate line and run with it, and they're yes people and they do anything I want them to.
You were perfect. Practice right. Practice being cold. You know, why would you as an employer want to give off an air of distance or being cold to an employee?
Yeah, and by the way, that's just in the interview, okay? So once you're on my team, guess what? We are in this together. I'm not going to lead you. I'm not going to push you. You know where we're going to walk? I'm going to walk right by your side, and we're going to take that hill together, right? So please don't get that impression. But I only want a distance at times during the interview, because what happens, Anthony, sometimes is that employers or interviewers can fall in love with one or two qualities of a candidate, and they forget the other two qualities. And they're mesmerized by your work ethic. They're mesmerized by the story of integrity, where you stood for something and it was amazing, and they were, you know, maybe brought tears to their eyes. And they forget the other qualities. And what you're going to find is that work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity win, all blend together. And if you forget to hire one of those qualities, you're going to pay for it. So my point is, keep a distance. Stay emotionally disconnected during the interview so that you don't fall in love. All right? And I also, as an interviewer, Anthony, I want to try to talk you out of the job. You say, what? You want to talk you out of the job? What are you talking about? If I really like somebody, Anthony, I'm going to try to talk them out of the job. I'm going to paint a worst-case scenario, right? There are things that in your experiences, Anthony, that surprise you. You never thought it was going to happen. But you know what? You were okay with it. But for some people, if I described that scenario, Anthony, they would have said, nope, that I do not want to sign up for that. And that's a good thing, because I don't want you to be surprised and quit 6 months down the road. I want you to know this is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And if you're still interested in marrying me after you've been exposed to my skeletons, if I still hear, put me in, coach, I'm ready, then guess what? Now the warmth begins. All right. I tried talking you out of the job. I see the four qualities win, and you're still there. Then guess what? Now the warmth begins.
Hmm. That, you know, that's so important, Garrett, to really to be able to get down to that level of understanding the character and the nature of the employee, to have the confidence to know that once you've hired them, that they're the ones. They're the ones that'll carry you through the dark times as well as stick with you during the bright times, because it is during the bright times that employees tend to find greener pastures, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and Anthony, isn't it interesting, if you just heard your language, we continue to come back to this marriage proposal, you know, through thick and through thin, right? Isn't that, you just said that, but you're talking about the employee-employer relationship. It is, in a sense, a marriage. I want to make sure I'm right for you and you're right for me, because when we bond, we had the potential to make wonderful music together. Or you've seen the other marriages where it's no fun for either party. So let's get it right. And you know what? Spending a little bit more time in the interview process. And by the way, as the interviewee, spend time evaluating this person. Do I want to spend the next X number of years, months with this person?
That really is very important. We're running a little short on time, speaking of time. I would like to know if, you know, because the climate is changing, you know, it really is changing, and there's so many great, great people out there to pick and choose from now. But, you know, eventually that's not going to be the point, and it's going to be hard to find good candidates, and a lot of them have terrible qualities. If you're an employer and you have to get down to that choice where you really don't want to hire them but you have to, what would you recommend to anyone out there in that position?
Wow, that is that is a really difficult question to answer, because my every bone in my body says if you don't hire all four, you're going to have problems. So if you know you're going into it, let's say the job that I'm hiring for is labor intensive, there's a lot, you know, you got to have a high work ethic, then I know going into it that I'm going to have to micromanage, even though I don't want to micromanage. But if I am okay with micromanaging, okay, with you know, if I have the bandwidth to micromanage, then that's okay. But you want to know which quality you're not hiring and whether you can manage that and you can create an atmosphere where you can minimize the impact. So if somebody lacks integrity, let's say, and you're thinking to yourself, Anthony, I'd never hire somebody who lacks integrity. But if you had to, because you got to build the ranks, then what position can I put them in where they would do the least amount of damage? And listen, if we're asking the question of where can I put them so they're doing the least amount of damage, you're really in a tight spot if you're still hiring that person. The better piece of advice is maybe wait one more month, do another round of interviews. I would rather wait another month, another 2 months, another 3 months, Anthony, even though it's impacting my life and some productivity. I'd rather wait 3 months than bring somebody in that's going to torture me for 2 years, okay? And you know what? The great way to find great people is networking. Ask people at church. Ask people on the soccer team. Ask people, you know, parents. Let everybody know and get that business card out there. Hey, listen, I'm looking for somebody who's great with scheduling or who's great on the computer. Do you know somebody that you'd recommend personally? When people have skin in the game and they're recommending somebody personally, you wind up finding better candidates.
That absolutely makes sense.
You are listening to your daily dose of well-being and inspiration on Law of Attraction Radio Network at loaradionetwork.com.
Garrett, this time is flown past, and I really want to get a little bit more into the substance of the man, Garrett Miller. If who's your life mentor? I mean, it's one. Oh. Who is that life mentor of yours?
Wow. That's, you know, listen, I'm a man of faith, so you know my mentor are some of the great men in Scripture. In terms of a modern day person, the first gentleman who hired me, coming right out of college, Len Gorelli, I hope you won't mind me stating his name, was one of the great guys. He just did everything right. He hired well, he managed well, he treated people with respect and with dignity, and I can say that almost all of my management styles reflect somewhat of Len. And one of the things one of the people I dedicate the book to is him. And I really try to mentor myself, and I try to think of what would Len do in a situation like that. And it's a great question. I've been asked it, I think, ever, Anthony. So it was a great question, and it caught me off guard, but I'd really have to say he's one of the guys that I really admire, and I still continue to keep in touch with and try to mentor. And you know what? He's one of those people that you could say, Len, what do you think is best for me? And you know that he would give you an answer that wasn't best for him or best for the company, but he really had your interests at heart. And when you are working for somebody like that, you're in. You're in like Flynn.
Oh, it makes you want to get up and go to work in the morning. It really
does. It does. It does.
So, Garrett, I really enjoyed listening to you over this last 45 minutes. If you would, leave our audience with some advice for this upcoming year that you feel will help them, you know, find that job or that career that they're wanting.
Yeah, that's great. I'm working on a second book right now, and it really is the best thing you can do is find what you're passionate in. Where are your gifts? I really believe every person has gifts and talents, and we talk about this on Hire on a Whim. And what you need to do is figure out what those gifts and talents are, and then pursue a career that is going to maximize those gifts and talents. And I'm talking about gifts and talents that other people recognize. You know, there was a time that Michael Jordan wanted to be a professional baseball player. He was a great athlete, but you know where his gifts and talents, where they lied? They lied in basketball. And you know what? He drifted back to that. Take personal inventory of what you're good at. What do you love doing? Ask other people, hey, Anthony, what do you think I'm good at? What do you think my gifts are? Ask your parents, you know, Mom, when you close your eyes and picture me in the working world, where do you picture me professionally? You will be amazed at what people say. But if you pursue your gifts and your talents, and I call it your calling, what have you been called to do and equipped to do? Pursue that, and you're going to find you'll have greater joy and greater reward in that profession. And you know what? If work on the qualities of whim, work ethic, humility, integrity, and maturity. If you are weak or you're missing some of those, put yourself in positions where they can be where those qualities can be grown. And you will be people that employers will pursue.
Garrett, thank you so much for coming on to 6 Degrees, and thank you for the work that you're doing and for writing this book so employers will be looking for the people that have whim characteristics, which, you know, in a sense, will bring about a better world. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Anthony. I enjoyed it.
Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week with another great show of 6 Degrees.